Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. As you may know, Secretary of State Kerry is testifying before Congress today, trying to prevent new sanctions on Iran that would scuttle the six-month nuclear deal. Tomorrow, Kerry returns to the Mideast to continue working on Israeli-Palestinian peace talks. Many talks close together with Israeli and Palestinian leaders, fueling speculation about progress toward a deal. Meanwhile, Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu is one world leader not attending Nelson Mandela's memorial service today, calling it too expensive for a last-minute trip. Israel's Deputy Defense Minister Danny Danon, who is in the U.S. today, joins us in studio with some reaction to all these things. He's also author of the book, Israel, the Will to Prevail. Welcome back to WNYC, Minister Danon.
Good morning, Brian. Great to be here again.
Israel, everybody knows, has been skeptical of the deal with Iran because it gets some sanctions lifted while still processing uranium, though not to weapons-grade purity, they say. Do you want Congress to pass new sanctions, which would thereby break the six-month agreement with Iran in the middle?
We are not interfering in internal issues of the U.S. government, but we are worried. We are worried because the deal that was signed in Geneva created a gray area. In the past, it was very clear. You had good and bad. You had evil forces in Iran, and the sanctions started to show that the Iranians are coming to speak with us. Now there is a new reality where the Iranians continue to build the bomb, but at the same time, the economy of Iran is booming. Look at the market there. Look at the investors running also from the U.S., from Europe, running today to work with the Iranians. We are worried about it, and we anticipate that in 6 months from today, they will come stronger to the negotiation room.
Is the economy booming? Isn't it the desperate straits of the economy that brought them to the negotiating table?
Exactly. That's what happened. But that was the crucial time, or as you call it, the money time. And instead of pushing them more and getting them to sign a good agreement, what happened? We signed a bad agreement with them. And today they feel that they won because they are not feeling the sanctions anymore. And they are not actually delivering the good and taking out all the facilities and stopping enriching the uranium.
Well, Kerry and President Obama would say they're still feeling the overwhelming majority of the sanctions, and this six-month temporary deal is meant to lead to a permanent arrangement under which more sanctions would be lifted, but Iran would permanently end development of nuclear weapons. It would, though, in the deal that they envision, be able to develop nuclear energy, and that involves a much less enriched uranium that's not weapons grade. But would that be a deal breaker in your eye? Could Israel ever accept, should Israel ever accept such a deal where Iran is allowed to develop nuclear energy?
First of all, when you speak about sanctions, you have to remember that you speak about economy and about psychological effect. Today, people think that they can go back and work with Iran, and it will be very hard to put more sanctions or to actually hold them where we were holding them a few months ago. And yes, we are worried about Iran becoming nuclear because we saw what happened with North Korea. It is very similar. The U.S. was negotiating, was talking with the North Korean, sending inspectors. But at the bottom line, North Korea was capable to deliver the good for their people and to build a nuclear bomb. And I think that is what the Iranians are saying today. We will play the game with the Americans, but at the end, we will be in the jumping point where we can jump to the point that we have military capability. And that we cannot allow. Maybe for the U.S., it will be a mistake, but for Israel, it could be a fatal mistake.
On the Israeli-Palestinian situation, Kerry is aiming for an April target date for a draft peace agreement. And from what I read, he will return to Israel and the Palestinian territories tomorrow after his meetings last week, which were three with Prime Minister Netanyahu, one with Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas. So many meetings so close together is leading to speculation that something is moving. Is something moving?
Well, first of all, I do respect his ambitions and stamina coming to the Middle East so many times and meeting with the leadership in the region. But I'm not optimistic. He set the date that by May 2014, we will finish the conflict with the Palestinians. I don't think it will happen, Brian. I think that we will have to deal with the Palestinians for many years to come, and it will not be so easy. There's a lot of goodwill coming from the U.S. administration, but the players on the ground are tough players, and we're looking at what's happening today in Gaza, and we cannot allow the same to happen in Judea and Samaria.
Reuters says today that the Palestinian side is criticizing some Israeli security measures that Kerry is proposing. He says Israel, the Reuters story says Israel has long demanded that under any eventual accord, it retain swaths of Jewish settlements in the West Bank, as well as military control of the territory's eastern Jordan Valley, effectively the prospective Palestinian border with Jordan. But Palestinian official Yasser Abed Rabo told the Voice of Palestine Radio that Kerry had plunged the process into crisis by seeking to, quote, appease Israel through agreeing to its expansion demands in the Jordan Valley under the pretext of security, unquote. This according to Reuters. I read all this to set up the question. If that's the public reaction of Abed Rabo, do you think Kerry is heading toward a meaningful security arrangement with his plan from Israel's point of view that Israeli security would be taken seriously in?
I think it is part of the tactics of the Palestinians, refusing everything that is being offered to them. We saw it in the past with Prime Minister Barak and Prime Minister Olmert. But regarding the security issues, I'm against the presence of Palestinians in the cross with the borders with Jordan. Can you imagine Al-Qaeda forces at the border with Canada or Mexico? That's something we cannot allow. Maybe it looks nice when you come from Washington and you say, I have an agreement, but we will stay there forever. And we need to make sure that the security measures will be the hands of the Israelis. You cannot subcontract the security of the Israelis into the hands of international inspectors or Palestinian inspectors. We saw what happened in the past with those inspectors. When push comes to shove and it's becoming dangerous, they're running away. Look at the Golan Heights with Syria today. You don't have UN presence there because of what's happening today in Syria.
But am I understanding correctly that Kerry is taking your position on that you just stated?
He's looking for the middle ground. He said there will be Israeli presence for 10 years. And after 10 years, there will be no Israelis on the borders. That's something Israel will not accept.
On the nuclear question, Israel is widely believed to have nuclear weapons itself that it won't declare. So why shouldn't the world consider Israel, another rogue state like Iran, in this regard?
You need to look at the intentions. When I see people in Iran, in Tehran, marching with missiles, and they write on the missiles, Tel Aviv, Haifa, Jerusalem, we will annihilate the Jewish people. You hear what they're saying? I'm worried about it. You don't hear those voices coming from Israel, the U.S., European countries. So the intentions coming from Iran are scaring not only the Israelis, and I think it's an issue that the Americans should be worried about, because maybe today it's not in your backyard. But if Iran will become nuclear, they can deliver it to Venezuela, they can deliver it to South America, and it will be in your backyard. So a bad deal with Iran is a threat to Israel first, but also a threat to the American people.
But Israel has also been criticized over the years for doing things that it sees as in its security interest, even necessity, but that for others go beyond the pale, whether it's in Lebanon or whatever it is. And so people don't necessarily trust Israel to be a nuclear power. How can Israel continue to be an undeclared nuclear power and have the world not require something of it?
When you look at the region today and you ask yourself, which is the most stable nation in the Middle East, where you have a real democracy in the Middle East, where you have the same values like the American and the European, you understand it is in Israel. And with all due respect to the Arab Spring, and I'll see what's happening today in Syria, I'm disturbed of the number of refugees, of the violence today in Syria, Lebanon, Egypt. I think people understand that the only stable state in Israel, in the region, is Israel. And yes, we have the military capability to defend ourselves. Otherwise, what you see today happening in Syria would have happened in Israel.
Finally, Prime Minister Netanyahu is one world leader not attending Nelson Mandela's memorial service today, citing the expense of a last-minute trip. There are several scathing op-eds in Haaretz today. They take the prime minister to task for sending precisely the wrong message to the world through this decision. Do you support his decision not to go?
It was his decision, and it wasn't only a budget issue. And there is a lot of criticism about the prime minister flying abroad, how much it cost to the government, to the state. But there was also security issues. Sending the Israeli prime minister to the event would have required a lot of security measures. And that was one of the decisions that the prime minister decided not to take with him hundreds of people to protect him.
With Obama, security is protected. With Rouhani, security is protected. All these other controversial world leaders for whom protection would take massive security, the Israeli prime minister couldn't be among them?
I think we should have sent the prime minister or the president, and it was a mistake not sending one of them. Also, Shimon Peres, the president, is highly respected all over the world. I think it was a mistake because we do respect Nelson Mandela and his values that he represented, but we sent a delegation with the head of the Knesset, and we do pay respect to Nelson Mandela.
Let me just come back for one second to the Kerry negotiations between Israelis and Palestinians. Is there anything that he could do to bridge the gap, in your opinion? Maybe the kind of security arrangement you were talking about before, where you object to the fact that Israel would lose that position on the Jordan Valley border after 10 years. It sounds like the kind of thing that might be negotiable. It doesn't sound like necessarily a deal breaker, like the talks could still continue around details like that.
I think Secretary Kerry needs to understand that you cannot come and dictate the result of the discussion. We need more time. You cannot come and say within a month we'll finish the conflict. It doesn't work that way in the Middle East, not with the Israelis, not with the Palestinians. So I would advise him to allow more time for the negotiations to continue, and maybe we can move forward with the negotiations.
Danny Danone, Israel's deputy defense minister and the author of Israel, The Will to Prevail. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, Brian.